League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad tape, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river through the woods somewhere. Granny's about to go to bed. But before she does, she wanted to hit a big old sack of that evidence bag. Mendo Perps in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dust in plastic bags, ready to try bags, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do be. All my friends that come around, fight to fight the party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess this town's a town, and my brains is flattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High running it, and I got a lot for you tonight, Carver High. And first of all, we got Dodgers and Padres at Petco getting ready to go in Southern Cali. And that should be a great game. Looking forward to that. We got all the other games that went down tonight. I think the Giants just beat the Mets. No, are you kidding me? Did you see these guys drop the ball in left field in the bottom of the ninth inning? You got to be kidding me. Slater and Dickerson dropped the ball on an easy out. I think they may have got out of it anyway. No? One out. There's the pop-up to first. Down two, final out, two outs. No, they walk them, bases loaded. Are you kidding me? What is happening here? You got to be kidding me. And then Polar Bear flies out, game over. You lose. Giants win it 3-2. All right, what is with this abuse of our leprechaun? I just can't have it.
Wow.
Honestly, yeah. I just can't have it.
Do you understand why I held that off today on Coast to Coast? Because literally there was like 2.5 minutes left in the show, and I knew it was something that was going to be like a larger, broader discussion that me and you were going to need to have, so I figured we would just have it tonight. How embarrassing. How are they the fourth most, what was the exact word?
Hated.
Hate, well, not hated, it was... hold on one second. Let me get it up for you here. I want to make sure that we have
despised?
The...
Despised?
No. It was worse than that. Here we go. Let me bring up today's rundown from Coast to Coast, and I will tell you exactly what it was. Fourth most offensive mascot in sports. Offensive. There is nothing offensive about the Notre Dame leprechaun. It is a sign of greatness. There is absolutely nothing. Let me just tell you something. You could poll 1,000 Irish people, and none of them are offended by the Notre Dame leprechaun. It is a badge of honor to anybody from the homeland. Any of them.
Can you imagine? Like, they're so desperate to hate Notre Dame. Everyone in this country, you know, sports fans, they hate Notre Dame. I mean.
Yes.
You know, I don't even know. Is there anyone that doesn't hate Notre Dame? You're either a fan of Notre Dame or you hate them dead. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. There's no one that ever says, yeah, I don't mind Notre Dame. They don't bother me. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM. We're on channel 204 every day, all day, always. And Mightier 1090 in San Diego, where the Padres are melting like an ice cream cone. And... it's near to you, wanna do you wanna? And then, of course, Sports Map, Radio Network in H-Town, Sports Map, our friends down there, Craig Larson and company. And then, of course, Darren Peck and Sports Byline in the city, bada bay, yay, in the way, yay, in San Fran. and armed forces radio all over the world. Did you see, Carver High, before I get into the leprechaun, did you see that we got a TV station in San Francisco to carry coast to coast?
I did see that. That is outstanding news that came across news desk today. Really awesome stuff as the grid continues to expand. You're going to see a bunch of different Nexstar Media Group stations throughout the country. I think I saw, Scotty, what, D.C., San Francisco, Nashville in the mix as well. That's awesome.
Nashville, Knoxville, Tampa, Portland, Des Moines, Grand Rapids, all those markets automatic.
That's awesome. That's just the grid just keeps expanding. It's great.
I think it's Cron in San Francisco, which is a legendary TV channel. Cron. I think it's 4.
I believe you're right.
Wrong. I could be wrong, but I think it's Cron 4. I think if you look at the logos on the press release, you'll see Cron, and that's this TV station in San Francisco that'll carry us. We'll be on. I've had a long history in San Francisco on KMBR and on The Ticket and on Sports Channel America, and they just can't get rid of me, those people. What do you mean, you people?
You people.
Those people up there in the Bay Area, they just can't get rid of me, old Burrell. That guy comes around like a rash. When we come back, we're going to talk bad about everyone that isn't Notre Dame. Every school, we're going to bash all of their mascots and their schools and their student body and their chicks and everything else. Their education, you name it. All right, so I've had about enough of this. You know, I can't, like, go through my day and have, like, people interfering with my love affair with my entire life of going to see Notre Dame football, scalping tickets as a child at the New Rockne Plaza on the Indiana Toll Road before games in South Bend, going to every game Joe Montana ever played for Notre Dame, including the 79 Cotton Bowl. With my dad. My dad was friends with Dan Devine, and that's how I got in all those years. And I also have been a fan of theirs my whole life. But, you know, I'm a Kane guy. The Canes passed the Irish 35, 40 years ago. So when I was a kid, I was just the most gigantic Notre Dame fan ever, right? I got to go on the field when the players came out of the tunnel, which doesn't happen anymore. Back in the day, they used to let people out on the field for that when they ran out on the field. But they don't allow that anymore. But I went to every game. I loved it. Notre Dame, the greatest place on earth for college football. I've been everywhere. You know, even the Orange Bowl, when it was around, was great. But it couldn't hold a candle to, even though it was just unique in its own way and right. Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend is the greatest college football venue on earth. And I'm talking about, you can kiss my ass if you think otherwise. Where else? I've been to every stadium on the face of the earth. I've been to every experience, the Rose Bowl. I've been to Outzen. I've been everywhere. Ann Arbor, the Big House, the Swamp, Tallahassee. They can't hold a candle to Notre Dame. Nowhere. I mean, where is it? Ohio State, the Horseshoe? The Horseshoe smells, okay, compared to Notre Dame. Happy Valley? I mean, what? When all the rapes were going down? I mean, like, honestly, stop with any, like, comparison whatsoever. There is no Norman, Lincoln. What's a tornado going to blow through in the middle of the game? Listen. There's nothing like Notre Dame. Nothing. Not even close. Touchdown Jesus. The band playing on campus, marching through campus to the stadium.
Here's who's offended by the Notre Dame logo. Okay. Let me just tell you something. My family born in Dublin. All right. I have a rich Irish tradition. There is no person of Irish descent who is at all, offended by the Notre Dame Fighting Irish mascot. Not one. You want to know who's offended by it? All the people who aren't Irish. Okay, because everybody needs to be offended by something. So they just assume, these 1,200 idiots that took this poll, just assume because the Irish people must be upset by that. Guess what? We're not. We love it. We're proud of it. And it's never going anywhere. Okay? That's just the way that it goes. Ever. Okay? The school even put out the statement saying, screw you. This is our logo. And this is exactly what we're doing. Because we know that this logo and this mascot is a symbol of pride amongst the Irish community. And that's exactly what it is. Now, you want to talk about offensive? Fine. Let's talk about the three things that were above Notre Dame in this dopey poll of 1,266 people that somebody took.
Morons.
Chief Osceola of Florida State in the number one spot. That's the guy on the horse that goes and throws the spear in the middle of the field down there in Tallahassee. That was number one on the most offensive list. Then you have the San Diego State Aztec Warrior coming in at number two. In the three hole, Hawaii's Vili the Warrior, because the Hawaii mascot is the Warriors now. Warriors did not go very high on this list of these 1,200 dopey people that took this poll.
The bottom line is, like in sports in general, anything to do with Indians, it's a problem.
Well, yeah, that's why Florida State's at the top.
You know what? Has Florida State gotten rid of Chief Osceola despite all the ramblings of all these people? Now, listen, I don't disagree with people that are offended by their heritage being, stampeded upon or mocked or abused or,
handled
the wrong way.
Like,
do you really think that Florida State is doing that to spite Indians? Do you really believe that, what were the other ones? The Aztecs? Are you kidding me? Like, Let me just tell you something. I was just at San Diego State where my son wants to go to college. I didn't see one thing on that entire campus about Indians. I'm just being honest. Three, the guy at Hawaii, no one cares about them because they don't matter. No one, if you don't matter, no one cares about you. The fact that somebody's saying that they're offended by that mascot at Hawaii, you know what? Go to Hawaii. Go to Kahanapali on vacation. Go lay in Maui. Go smoke your Wowie. Go get a sunburn and chill. Go to Haleakala. Go to the road to Hana. Go have fun at everything in Hawaii, Oahu, you name it. Believe me, when you're there, you're not going to care about the warrior over at the U of Hawaii, okay? No one cares. I'm surprised to this day. I really am surprised to this day that they changed the name of the Washington Redskins, because I covered this my entire career. They've been trying to get them to change the name of the Washington Redskins for 40 years. And all I know is they finally won and they're changing the name of it. Everybody's happy now that they're finally changing the name of it. I remember a time when I went on Johnny Cochran and argued with these people that were so adamant about it, and they finally got their way and they won, and they're changing the name of the team. Are you happy now? I mean, do you really care a rat's ass about some NFL team's nickname? So much so, now they've changed the name of the Cleveland Indians. They're now going to be the Cleveland Guardians. Yes. And Washington's changing the name of their football team. They will stop at nothing to change the names of everyone. Are the Atlanta Braves changing their team name? No. Are the Chicago Blackhawks changing their team name? No. I understand their venom toward using their, you know, heritage, whatever,
but that's
profit or whatever else. What?
That's the difference in these two situations. There are people that actually are, there are Native Americans who are offended by those mascots. There is not one. I'm not going to say there isn't one, but find me some Irish people that are offended by the Notre Dame leprechaun. Find them for me. You can't.
There's none.
Can't.
My entire family is upstairs from Belfast. They could care less. They drink whiskey. They don't mess around, these people. They don't care about leprechauns. You think they have time to worry about leprechauns? They don't. I mean, claret rings, the whole deal. They do all that. They don't have any time for worrying about leprechauns. Okay? That is the most insane thing I've ever heard. Let's make fun of some of these other corny ones. Now, I guess offensive is the big word here tonight, right? Everyone's offended. Listen, I don't lose sleep over these things. And I'm telling you, my son wants to go to San Diego State. You think when I'm like sending him there and paying the bill that I'm going to worry about their nickname when I'm sending 40 grand a year over there? Honestly. I never saw anything Aztec the whole time I was there. I saw SDSU on everything. And he paid $200 for that Kawhi jersey, that road red. Believe me, it was beautiful. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So people are offended by the Notre Dame leprechaun. I have heard it all. Very upsetting to me. So I was just looking at some of these other schools and their, nickname or their mascots or whatever else they are. Carver High, what's a Tar Heel?
Well... To be fair, obviously we've heard Tar Heel forever because it's the North Carolina mascot, but you would guess because of it's some sort of a ram, right? I mean, it's some sort of a right. I mean, what are we dealing with here?
What is a Tar Heel? All right, I gotta look this up.
The Tar Heel dates back to North Carolina's early history when the state was a leading producer of supplies for the naval industry. Okay. Workers who distilled turpentine.
Nickname for a native resident of North Carolina. Wearing the gray, written by Tar Heel, blah, blah, blah. Why is it offensive? Calling someone a rosin heel or Tar Heel was considered an insult. It was dirty. Undesirable work.
Well, the mascot that they have running around at the games looks like a ram. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got the dude with the horns.
It's a ram.
Ramses.
How is that your nickname when it's basically, it's offensive. It's derogatory. It was adopted by soldiers. Some people said it was about slaves. I mean, is that not offensive enough? That's way more offensive than the leprechaun. There's no way I'm gonna listen to the leprechaun stuff. You got to be kidding me. What's so offensive about a leprechaun? I want to know. The luck of the Irish. What about a Buckeye?
I can't answer that.
What about a Buckeye? Don't you think that stupid Buckeye thing that runs around at their games is an idiot? You want to punch him in the face, don't you? That giant beanie head Buckeye running around with that gigantic head of his?
Bucky.
Bucky the Buckeye? I want to punch him in the face. Georgia Bulldogs. You think they torture those dogs enough down there between the hedges? How many dogs have they gone through? How many dogs have they killed? I mean, it's one after the next, isn't it?
The Buckeye is actually Brutus. It's Brutus. Brutus. Buckeye. Bucky is the Badger for Wisconsin. Bucky Badger.
Bucky Badger. And then badgers are nasty.
Yeah, that's a tough animal.
They're vicious.
Tough animal. Yeah.
But what is Brutus the Buckeye? Wasn't it some kind of nuts or something? He's nuts. What does it say about Brutus? Brutus the Buckeye. Brutus the Buckeye. Here we go. There he is. It's the mascot of Ohio State. Made its debut in 1965, the year I was born. They've had a lot of updates to the design and wardrobe over the years. He travels to many events around the university and often makes appearances around Columbus. Tradition started in 67 when Woody Hayes and longtime trainer Ernie Biggs changed the look of the Ohio State uniforms. It's a giant nut. I knew that it was a giant nut. It's. I've always said it was about these nuts. Your boy Brutus. They give out nuts on the helmets. Everybody, they're all running around with nuts on their heads when they play football. You know, honestly, I have to say that there's nothing I want more. Now, I think Will Myers just robbed a home run in left field or something like that.
More guys robbing home runs?
Another robbed home run like last night. This time Myers made the catch, and it's still scoreless. He robbed Seager of a home run. But what about Ole Miss? What is theirs? It's a Rebel, right?
Yes, the Rebs.
The Rebs. How about the Confederate flag and the Rebels? Isn't that what that's about? The Confederacy?
I'd say it's probably highly more offensive than the Notre Dame leprechaun.
All of the things we brought up are more offensive than the Notre Dame leprechaun. All of them.
Even Bucky Badger.
Bucky Badger is a drug dealer. Without a doubt. And how about the Cyclones? Cyclones devastate communities. Ruin lives. Terrorize children and women. Sweep up people in flooding. They made movies about it. People drown. They're swept away. It happened even in this country. It happened, the flooding recently. It's the same thing as a cyclone. The flooding in Tennessee, horrible, horrible flooding. Same thing with a cyclone. They blow through like in Taiwan, in Hong Kong, in Tokyo. They'll get hit with cyclones, and there's just massive flooding. Who celebrates massive flooding, Carver High, besides no one? There's nothing worse. So therefore, Kenny White today said they're 13-12 against the spread in their last 25 games. That is failure. When you don't cover for us, you're a failure. And when you are a failure flood, you're a horrible person. That is a terrible mascot. Terrible. What is a Red Raider, Carver High? Would that be some kind of cowboy that's a red cowboy with a giant red hat? And what does he do? Rob trains? What is going on here? What is this? Well, Billy the Kid? What is a Red Raider?
Red Raider is actually, you know, they were, I'm trying to get you real quick. I wanted to look it up. Something about it got a little horse there involved in the Red Raiders. I feel like a Red Raider is like a swashbuckler.
The mass rider is not allowed or would not be appropriate. Around 71, they created a rule forbidding the bringing of live animal mascots to away games unless the host school permitted it. Red Raider. They also say, is Raider a bad word? While Native American imagery is deemed offensive and harmful, the use of the Raider has been associated with non-Native American mascot is not offensive. The Masked Rider, the Red Raider is what it is. Raider Red is the name of the Masked Rider that they support and cling to.
But I guess they don't matter because they're Texas Tech, right? They don't matter. So nobody cares. Yeah, Notre Dame matters.
Nobody cares. Guns up is the slogan and hand signal of Texas Tech. It's used by the students and alumni as a greeting. It's also used as a victory sign during athletic events. Guns up. Nothing like supporting guns on your community and on your campus. Everyone pulling guns out and greeting one another with guns. It's a horrible influence on children, Carver High. They're horrible people down there in Lubbock, walking around with guns, killing people. The entire school should be shut down and no more athletic events scheduled for this day forward. Horrible, offensive nicknames and people using guns and weapons. Horrible.
Can't have it.
It's just, you want to worry about Notre Dame? We're going to worry about your guns. Know that. This ain't no AK-47 for a best friend, business the American way. Carver, I, and I are done with it. We're not having it anymore.
Yeah.
What about an Aggie? The hell is that, Carver High? What is it? An Aggie? I mean, honestly. And, like, Rebel, I think that's the thing. It's a dog. I really believe it's a dog. It's a bulldog. Historical connection to the agricultural roots as the land-grant university. Why are they called Aggies? It's all about agriculture, Carver High. There you go. And on Gig'em, Howdy, Hump It, and Whoop. We cannot have people humping each other on college campuses, Carver High. This is derogatory and offensive.
Nobody wants that.
We can't have it. Like, Gig'em and Howdy and Hump It. Hump It. No one wants any dogs to be humping their leg or humping anything. I mean, especially if you're sleeping. All right, we'll get back to mocking all the people that are mad that Notre Dame has a leprechaun later. We've already abused about 30 schools in the process. Carver High and I are returning serve tonight against all those that are offended by the leprechaun. We're just not having it on the bench. Here he is, the legendary voice of the Denver Broncos, Dave Logan, who has done it all, obviously, as a player in the NFL, certainly as a legendary broadcaster in the NFL. And we've talked to him a million times over the years about his remarkable career coaching high school football and winning state championships at multiple schools, the best coach in the history of Colorado at the high school level, Dave Logan, back on the bench. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Scott. Good to talk with you, man. What's going on?
Are you still at it? Are you coaching high school football again this fall?
Yeah, I am. We've got our first game coming up Friday, so I'm back at it. This will be like year 29 for me.
So what school are you at now? I know you've won it at several different schools. And where are you coaching again now? You have to refresh my memory and my audience.
No, I'm at Cherry Creek High School in Denver. This will be my 10th year there. And you know, we've had a pretty good run.
How many titles have you won there?
Well, we've won last year and in the COVID year, and then we won in 2019. So we've won the last two, and then we won in 14. So we've won three there at Cherry Creek.
So when you coached in the COVID season and still won the state championship, was that like a trying season for you? Was it different and difficult more so than coaching a normal season? What was that like for you?
Dude, it was the most, it was satisfying because at least the kids got to have a season, and it looked like forever that they weren't going to be allowed to play. So it was a shortened season. If you win normally in Colorado, you got to play 14 games. We played nine. You know, and you had to practice differently. You couldn't practice the offense with the defense. The defense is on one end. You couldn't work your line combinations because you had to try to keep 6 feet apart. We had to take the temperature of every single kid coming in for every practice. I got told 1 week that on Wednesday before Friday game that five of my guys were going to have to sit out because they had been around a player who had tested positive the previous week in a game. Right. So, I mean, it was, you know, I'm thankful we made it through, but it was, I don't think I've ever been more fatigued, clearly just worn out at the end of the season, just because of all the protocols and trying to do the right thing, make sure the kids were safe, and yet put them in a position where they could succeed, right? And fortunately for me, I had a lot of those kids back from the previous year, and we had gone 14-0 and had won the state championship. I think, you know, had I had a younger team, an inexperienced team, and had to practice them the way we did, I think it would have been virtually impossible to have the kind of year that we had.
Wow. So I had, you know, Chad Brown on the show, and on my TV show, I had him on one day, and he was on for, I think like a half an hour or something like that doing, he got invited on and, the network, and he does a lot of stuff, as you know, in college football and pro football. He fills in, I think he's filled in on your broadcast sometimes on the Broncos. So I started talking to him, and he was doing a Bronco game. I think a preseason game, maybe their first preseason game or something like that.
He did last week in Seattle.
Right. So I said, he played for Seattle and Pittsburgh in the NFL. So I was talking to him about everything in his life and about the snakes. He's a freak. The guy like collected snakes and everything, if you remember. And then I said to him, he started talking to me about, I asked him, how the hell did a kid from like Pasadena end up at Boulder and go to school? And it was really smart. He was like, if I would have gone to USC or UCLA, I wouldn't have mattered. And I went to Colorado, and I won a national championship. And I went to the NFL, and I had a great career, and blah, blah, blah. So I started talking to him about, I brought you up, and I was like, you know, Dave's a legend on my show, and he's just the greatest guy ever, and a legendary broadcaster and coach. And he started rattling off your high school championships and all that you've done in high school football. And I said to him something along the lines of, can you imagine how many kids that Dave Logan has affected their lives for the better and made them into good young men, solid citizens, good students, and then Division I college football players, two, three, whatever. How many kids have you seen go, and I'm sitting there having this conversation with Chad Brown about you. That's how highly I think of you. That how many kids do you think you've, you know, touched in their lives and made them into, you know, they've gone off to not only play college football, but you got to know at least a handful of them that started with you that are now playing in the NFL, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I've been blessed in that regard, Scott. I think that I think for any high school coach, honestly, if you talked to any of these guys that coach across the country, it's you know, it's a labor of love. I mean, you got to love football and you got to love kids, and I love both. And you know, you build relationships with these kids. You try to impact them in a positive way. You try to teach them some life lessons, and you do all that while you're still, you know, you're still trying to win games. You're still trying to do what's right by the team, and so I think what I'm most proud of, honestly, is the number of kids that are now grown men that come back and stay in touch, and I'm able to still be a part of their lives. I'm able to know that they've got, you know, my first quarterback in 1993, heading for 1 year. We're in contact 4 or 5 times a year. He's got a wife and 3 daughters. And so just, I mean, that kind of stuff really matters to me. The football is great, and I love it. I get as excited and fired up to coach a high school game. Honestly, when those kids come out of that locker room and hit the field, I get as excited as I was when I played in the NFL for a long time. It's just, I just love football. I think it's the greatest team sport in the world. I think there are so many things you can learn from the game if it's taught the right way. And I've been blessed and been able to do that for a long time.
So, real quick, I want to ask you about the quarterback situation. That is all that matters to everyone in Denver. And I said on the air the other day, I said, I think Teddy's going to get that job. I said that yesterday, and then today he got the job. I just feel, for me, just simple, I think he's a better quarterback than Drew. I think, you know, Drew's got a bright future, but I just think Teddy's better. What did you think of the decision?
The decision didn't really surprise me for a couple of reasons. I think when you look back last year, I mean, the Broncos offensively were last in turnovers. Drew was tied for last in interceptions. They were 31st in red zone efficiency. They were 31st in third down efficiency. They were 31st in points scored. And I went back and with the All-22. I mean, I look at every single game that I broadcast. I'll go home, watch that thing because I'm a football nerd. I love the game. I pick up things that I can use. And you know what? Drew last year made some incredible throws. I mean, I'm running it back and forth with the Cowboy clicker, and I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. Look at this throw. Look at the anticipation of the throw, and the window's about a foot wide, and he fits that thing in on a 22-yard rope. I mean, just incredible throws. But he also made some decisions that as soon as he starts to throw, you're grabbing your head and you're screaming no. And so I think this is the case for every coaching staff and every player they coach. If the coaching staff remains the same and the players that come back are the same, there's a predisposition that those coaches have about those players. I mean, they've got a built-in predisposition as to what they think that guy can do. And so I think Drew had to win the battle this year in camp rather than lose the battle to Teddy. Teddy has played very well in camp. And I think Vic Fangio knows that this is a crucial year for him. If they're not a playoff caliber team, if they're not relevant in the playoff race in December, the whole staff's probably going to get bounced. So you look at that schedule, and I'll end it with this. They play at the Giants still open. They play at Jacksonville week 2. They come home against the Jets. You know, they haven't won a game in September the last 2 years. They can't afford to get off to a slow start. So which quarterback gives you the best chance? If you think and Vic Fangio thinks, hey, you know what? I've upgraded the back end of the defense. I'm pretty good on defense. We're going to be pretty good. The only way we're going to lose those games is if we give those games to the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets, respectively. So, to me, I called it at the start of camp. I think Drew had to be a lot better than Teddy because I think going in, that staff said, we got to have the guy that doesn't lose early games for us this year.
So, respectfully, I got about 90 seconds. Lastly, yep. I want to ask you, I think you were 6'5", 220 when you played at Colorado. I'm 6'4", yep. 220. Do you think I could have made the Buffaloes? 6'4", 220. Pharrell, I could have played on the other side, a 2 tight end system day.
What? Well, you know what? I played wide out, so you would have been a good tight end, Scotty. I think probably, though, it would have been a check with me system, and if you're attached on the right side, with all respect, I think they're going to check. We're going to run left, and you're just going to have to cut off the seven technique and make sure you get your head in front of him.
All right, and a final overtime question. Real quick, did the fires in California and all the bad smoke that hit Denver, I heard about it, did that affect your high school coaching and your teams trying to train out there in that? Was it bad?
Oh, yeah, it was bad. I mean, we were very careful with the kids. I mean, the air quality for a long time was just horrendous. So in terms of conditioning, we cut way back. We cut back the tempo of practice. A couple of times we didn't even go outside and practice. So it definitely, it's better now, but it definitely, 2 or 3 weeks ago, was pretty bad here in Denver.
All right, Dave, I love you. It's always great catching up. Good luck. I know you got a game, I think, with the Rams or something coming up here.
Yep, Saturday.
Broncos, hopefully they have a great season. We'll catch up with you at some point during the season. Always great having you on the bench, my friend. All the best health and happiness to you and the family. Keep doing your thing. I'm always a fan of what you're doing.
You're the best, Scotty. Appreciate you.
All right, there he is, Dave Logan, the legendary voice of the Broncos on the bench tonight. Keep going with us. Carver High is not done abusing other teams and their mascots. All right, so I got to tell you, there's a lot of crazy. San Diego's up 1-0 on the Dodgers. Crazy games going on tonight. I told you before, the Red Sox tied it in the ninth on a Schwarber two-run homer. But then the Twins scored two in the 10th. They're up 6-4 and still batting with a runner at first, up 6-4. And then you said what? There was five people at the Pirates game tonight? Well, they lost 5-2 to the Diamondbacks.
I threw it on for like 10 seconds. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. You could count on one hand the people in the stands. I saw Moran hit a foul ball down the right field line. Five people in the whole place. It was embarrassing.
The Astros won that game over the Royals tonight, 6-5-10. Rockies 13-10 over the Cubs at Wrigley in game two of the doubleheader in 10 innings. That was the second game. The first one was like a makeup game, right? So the second one was just another game. It was a full game, right? And then the Orioles ended their 19-game winning streak tonight. They beat the Angels. The Rays beat the Phillies 7-4. The Jays and Robbie Ray 3-1 over the White Sox. I think he struck out 14. And then the Giants beat the Mets 3-2. Indians 7-2 over the Rangers. And the Marlins and that kid, his first start with the Marlins you talked about today, 4-3, they beat the Nationals in 10 innings. And, I mean, the Brewers lead the Reds right now. Again, Woodruff, it's 3-0, bottom eight. So, crazy night in baseball. Boy, do I got a story for you coming up, Carver High. Going to blow your mind. Just another guy having a bad day. I got it all for you on a bench.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.